welcome to a quick Conversations of Change podcast with Dr. Jen Fram. We have a change chat with one of the leaders in the change management field. Hello. In today's change chat, I have the very great pleasure of talking with Carolyn Keeley of Ingenium Communications. Welcome, Carolyn.
Thanks, Jen.
How lovely to have you. We're talking to Canada today, aren't we? In Ottawa?
We are. And that's exactly right, in the nation's capital, Ottawa, Canada. So great to be part of your show. I'm a big fan of your podcast.
That's wonderful. So, Carolyn, we met, I guess, online through IABC First, International Association of Business Communicators, a number of years ago.
That's right.
Yeah. And how long have you been an IABC member?
Oh, dear. Well, probably 20 years, a very long time. I've been a member locally and also involved nationally and internationally on a number of occasions. So that's been a big part of my practice over the years.
Yeah, fantastic. Can you share with us how you first got into the communications world? Because the comms world often is a very strong entry point for change management practitioners.
Yeah, interesting. So I got into communications straight out of university. I studied communications in my undergrad and then did a master's in political philosophy and Canadian politics, which is perhaps a bit of a circuitous path to communications. Yeah. And then I just hopped through a number of different roles in communication, which was sort of a natural fit, particularly working for the Government of Canada with that political science background. And then just hopped across to many different jobs across the Government of Canada, the association sector, and also local economic development. And then did a brief stint at Nortel Networks, where actually I had a very significant change experience as I was laid off in what was Canada's largest corporate downsizing in our history. Yeah. And so that's in fact how I became what's known as an accidental entrepreneur, since I was laid off on the morning of the September 11th attacks in 2001. So just at 15 years ago this week. And thought, gee, well, since I was pregnant with my daughter and I had a one-year-old at home, I thought, well, perhaps I'll try consulting, since my job prospects were somewhat gloomy at the time. And then I fell in love with it and then launched a strategic communications practice out of that adventure.
Wow. It's really interesting because I think the whole accidental entrepreneurship and, you know, being made redundant, it often is a strong catalyst for entrepreneurial activity. I think what probably makes you stand out is that very few manage to make that a sustainable practice, which you've done such an extraordinary job of.
Thank you. We've had our ups and downs, as all entrepreneurial ventures do, but it really is such a gift to do what I love, and I have found it a really enriching and positive career choice.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So I'll get back to that shortly, I think, because I think there's a few things you could probably share on that. But for now, I wanted to say congratulations on the Gold Quill Excellence Award, and not only that, Best of the Best, which for the listeners is kind of the holy grail of what you can win in an international association of communications professionals. Tell us about that. What did you win for, and what was that experience like?
Well, thank you. Yes, that was just a really extraordinary experience, first of all, to work with such lovely clients. So we jointly won the IABC's Global Best of the Best Award for a change project that we delivered in partnership with the University of Ottawa's facilities team. And so it's interesting, you know, when you think of a university, you don't often think of the actual mechanics and the functioning of a campus, which is enormous. In the case of the University of Ottawa, it's a community of 43,000 students and professors spread out across a huge campus of 90 buildings. which are maintained and operated by this team of facilities. So there are 175 employees, which would be the plumbers, the electricians, the architects, and planners, and so on. And they were going through a large-scale business transformation, and we had really the great privilege and honor to be able to accompany them along that that process. And in fact, that initiative delivered very significant business results for the university. And of course, as you know, these award programs are all about metrics. And so I think that's very much the reason why we were so fortunate to win the Gold Quill as well as the Global Best in the Best, was because of the ability to tell a story through compelling metrics.
Yeah.
And so, in essence, the transformation, just as very quickly for your listeners, was that since facilities, as you can imagine, is the largest cost center for the university, the team was called upon, in essence, to do more with less, because the campus is growing and there's not new public funds to cover those expenditures. And so the whole focus of that initiative was to increase value to the university and improve client satisfaction. So we had a very clear statement of, if you will, the North Star for our change initiative. And then we worked through the director's team and through the leadership team in developing a very participatory communications campaign, a real focus on employee engagement, to try to tap into the sense of purpose and meaning of these folks, many of whom have worked in the shadows of the university for dozens of years, and to try to engage them in a process of defining their future and having a platform to have those conversations and to increase the team's performance. And at the end of the day, we were able to demonstrate that the team increased its productivity to the tune of $2.3 million Canadian. So that was an enormous benefit delivered to the university, as well as all kinds of other metrics that we were able to compile, thanks to having the good fortune of working with a client who's focused on metrics. So things like client satisfaction rates, employee satisfaction rates, overtime costs, and so on, together presented, I think, a very strong business case for the bottom line impact of effective change management that was driven through a highly communicative process.
Yeah. Look, that is such a gift to have that kind of client, because so often we go in and we actually want to measure and we want to provide the metrics.
Yes.
But often there isn't a taste, you know, or an appetite from the client side, or an ability, you know, they don't have the platforms in place. They actually don't Precisely. Want to measure those kind of things.
Exactly. And this has been an interesting thing, because over the years I've given many, many workshops on the importance of evaluation and measurement and identifying typically communication indicators to use. But in the absence of result-based indicators within an organization, it's very tough to link the true measurable business value of communication to outcomes,
yeah,
and to cross that troublesome chasm between the output approach and the real focus on outcomes. And so in this case, we worked with a really talented business analyst who had the expertise and who had the interest in investing in this, which, you know, to be candid, is a not insignificant level of effort, but it certainly paid off in this case.
Yeah, excellent. Now, Carolyn, I will pick you up. It's not just the metrics that win you one of these awards. It's often really high impact change management and communication activities.
Yes, well, hopefully that too.
What in your experience, you know, particularly the last 15 years with your business, what do you think differentiates adequate change communication to high impact change communication?
Mm-hmm. That is a really great question, Jen, and I would love to hear your answer to the question, because I know you've done a tremendous body of work in this space as well. From my vantage point, I would say that the big picture answer is that change communication really has to do with going beyond information dissemination and really getting at translation and creation of shared meaning. There's something much more experiential when you're dealing with change, because there's no amount of information, there's certainly no email that's going to solve you out of a change dilemma. You really have to find a way to engage at the heart level on that emotive plane, so that then people are receiving information through that filter of emotion in a way that's conducive to where you're going. And so that process is much more iterative, much more conversational in nature, and frankly, runs up squarely against the very traditional sort of command and control approach to communication that so many organizations have regrettably become accustomed to. And so I think that that's often, in fact, where we are called into engagements is when those approaches are just not working. So, for example, one of the simplest things that we've used with this client, as well as several others, that has worked particularly well is just to set up conversation opportunities. So in some cases, we call it a dialogue session. In this case, the executive director we worked with is a lovely and extremely talented leader called Claudio. So we had these coffee with Claudio sessions where, okay, on a regular cycle, I think it's really important that it be predictable. The senior sponsor or leader will make himself or herself available just to have a conversation and help people bounce ideas and really socialize the vision of where we're going and help connect the dots and synthesize some of these words, which often tend to be very conceptual, and connect the dots in terms of, okay, well, what does this mean for me? So, for example, in the case of facilities, if we're now interested in delivering value to the university and I'm an electrician, what is it you want me to do? And so animating that process and bringing it to life is really a co-creative process that cannot be done quickly and certainly, definitely cannot be done by email, which is the shorthand now that people want to go to. So there's got to be a much richer focus on experience, on the emotional side, and this idea of shared meaning, which is really an invitation to participate in that collaborative process.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, you said you'd love to hear my answer. I'm like, there's no point in giving it now. You've just given it.
Okay, well, we're in violent agreement then, Jen.
That's an extraordinary articulation, I think, of, you know, for me, what makes high impact is around dialogue. It's about sense-making. It's about creative and imperfect. Right. And that absolutely moving away from top-down one way, here's all the information you need, beautifully branded.
Exactly. And, you know, it was interesting in this particular assignment, we had one of the centerpieces of the communications and engagement program was a video. So we had a professional video made that really told the story of the facilities team and showcased the meaning of the team's work, which was really artfully done. But one of the indicators of success that I thought was really meaningful was, in fact, then the staff ended up making their own videos. And so these were, you know, sort of handmade projects, which is terrific. For example, in showing like a fast motion video of all the work that it takes to set up a gymnasium for exams, and you're going to quickly put all these things together and then tear them down because the exams are turning over so quickly, something that most students never, ever would think of. I dare say I never did when you're writing an exam of that Herculean behind-the-scenes effort. And so that, to me, was really instructive in showing that we're obviously tapping into something. It's an intrinsic motivation. It's an intrinsic sense of meaning and purpose in the team's work. The evidence being, or one part of the evidence being, that staff are literally taking out of their own initiative time to co-create and contribute to this through their own production. So that was one of the most gratifying parts of the whole experience.
Yes, I was quite delighted to see these videos. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Now, I think the other area that you've really differentiated in the market has been by creating your own IP, in particular the Results Map. Can you tell us a little bit about your entrepreneurial journey with Results Map and what that brings to you know, communications and change?
Sure. So what happened was that when I started my business, I decided to do what I liked and what I loved, which was mainly around strategic communications planning as opposed to the tactical implementation stuff. And I quickly realized that really the process of strategic communications planning was at least as important as the document. Mm-hmm. And the process part of the deal is eminently repeatable. And so I observed that many of our clients seem to be probably not served to maximum effect in a model of creating dependency on an external consulting firm, a very strange conclusion for a consultant to come to, I might add, because in effect, through our process of doing, for example, research and consultation through interviews and workshops, we would build relationships and we would get at a level of insight that the client didn't have and had not built that equity. And so over the years, I thought it was really important to try to package a best practice process. It also struck me as unusual that unlike other professional bodies, like, for example, if you think of the PMBOK body of knowledge for project managers, communicators, unfortunately, have struggled with the internal credibility of their function. And I think a big source reason for that has been a lack of standardized process. And so it was somewhat bold to say, well, I'll create one for what it's worth, which was the results map. So it really is a step-by-step process for strategic communications planning, focused on the prepare, plan, implement, and evaluate stages. And then we offer the process through our handbook, as well as what, as far as I know, is the world's largest online database of tools, templates, worksheets, and samples. So it covers all different aspects of strategic communications planning, from setting objectives to audience analysis, tactical design, and a big focus on evaluation.
Wow.
And so that has really been the centerpiece of our business, and we do a lot of training in that area and then also apply the methodology in our projects.
Yeah.
And then over the years, as my passion grew for the field of change communication, we've then adapted to explore other content elements, tools, and worksheets that are more specific to a change context. And I would say that has been a very intellectually interesting and sort of like an intellectual gymnastics exercise, really, in trying to reconcile these things, as you and I have chatted about before, because the results map graphically takes the visual cue of the London Underground subway. Mm-hmm. So it looks like a tube map that starts from point A and ends in point B.
Yeah.
And of course, in change projects, there is no such thing as that, and it's much, much messier and more iterative. That being said, I still think that there is room for ensuring that there is a rock-solid clarity around what success looks like, which is foundational to the results map philosophy. And then also thinking in terms of tools. And what I do find when we give workshops is quite interesting is that when teams are struggling with a complex issue, if to the extent that you can give them a tool, and I know you've got lots of terrific tools that you've used in your practice as well, so you may have observed a similar dynamic, I imagine. When you give people a tool to think through their challenge, like, for example, a template for developing a change communications plan or a worksheet to think through your key messages, then it liberates your thinking to focus on high-quality content because you don't have to struggle with what is this thing supposed to look like sort of the structure or the shape of it.
True. It does. It becomes a shortcut to actually unleashing, you know, the creator and the creative.
That's it. That's it. Exactly. So that has been a really interesting process to develop and grow our body of knowledge of the results map, which I'm happy to report is now used on every continent. And we've had quite a lot of success in driving our business through this intellectual property product.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Carolyn, well, this has been what's the word? I've just loved it for how you can articulate what really good communications looks like in change, and that's a really rare attribute. So thank you very much for your time on this Change Chat.
Thank you very much.
Look, I'd love to share with the listeners, I think there's a couple of, well, certainly you've got a white paper. Remind me which one it is. I know I've got it linked on my website, but it's...
Sure. Well, I was going to suggest I'd be happy to send you through our best practice paper on change communications, which perhaps you could add in your session notes for your listeners. And we also have a case study on the Best of the Best award, which we could send through as well.
Brilliant. I will add those to the notes. I'm also going to add your most recent post on your 15 years lessons learned.
Thank you.
In saying congratulations on that, as I shared earlier, I read it this morning and there was something in the rawness of which you wrote that, which was so incredibly connecting for people. And I think it's a beautiful read. Not only is it really helpful to those who are on the entrepreneurial journey, but really understanding the essence of what you bring to engagement. So I'll share that one as well.
Oh, that's very sweet. Thanks very much, Jen. That means a lot.
Yeah. But Carolyn Keeley, thank you so much for your time on this Change Chat.
Thank you so much, Jen. Look forward to connecting again soon.
If you enjoyed this Change Chat, then do share with your colleagues and friends. You can find more at conversationsofchange.com.au, at Jen Fram on Twitter, or Conversations of Change on the Facebook.